This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. I appreciate all the love and all the support. Oh, man. It's a great feeling. Believe it or not, I'm about to be 37 in like 6 days. It's so crazy. And, you know, people that know me and whatever, they're like asking, like, you know, what are you going to do for your birthday? What do you want or whatever? And I'm like, all I want at this point is support, man. So keep listening, keep watching, keep liking, subscribing, following my page, you know, being involved with the conversation. That's all I could ever ask for, honestly. That would be like the best, you know, birthday ever. The supporters, everybody who's already been supporting, is much appreciated. I can't tell you, like, how much that means to me. But with that being said, there's also something else that's about 8 days away. Yeah, that is NBA playoff basketball. Yep, a lot going on. There's also off-season, you know, programs going out, you know, with the NFL and guys working out, getting back to it. It's some exciting things happening right now. Obviously, you already heard what happened about Duke, right? So, Coach K, Coach Krzyzewski. I don't even think I said that right. It's all good, though. But, yeah, his career's done, 42 years. Carolina, yeah, North Carolina, man. Those Tar Heels. I heard there was a lot of bets going on, so I hope you're not welching on your bets. I hope everybody is, you know, paying up or, you know, wearing that jersey, you know. You got to give it up, man, you know. Duke, you guys have, like, what, 11 titles? You guys are going to be all right. You guys are going to be all right. I hear you guys are in good hands with the new program, with the new predecessor. You guys will be all right. My bracket's been busted. If you guys have been listening, you already know. So I have no stake in it. I believe the game is on tonight, though. So it will be Kansas, right, versus North Carolina. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I think Kansas might take it. Just looking at who's more ready. I mean, Kansas has been kind of breezing through this thing, you know. So we'll see what happens. Like, I'm sure there's a lot more experts out there who probably have more of a breakdown about how they think things are going to go when it comes to college ball. But I'll watch just because there's no NBA games on tonight, so I'm definitely going to watch and see what's going on. And as for the women's, yo, Dawn Stanley, I mean, been a fan of her for years. Shout out to her and her crew. South Carolina winning it, taking it all over UConn. You already know how those Huskies get down. I mean, they're pretty much like the favorites to win all the time. I mean, kind of just mopping up the league, just sweeping right through like nothing. South Carolina, from what I heard, from, like I said, the experts that actually follow college more. Incredible job. I heard even during the 2020 with the lockout because of the pandemic and everything going on where they had to actually, not really lockout, but, you know, they had to shut everything down because of COVID and everything. I heard that was their year to win as well. So, wow. So it could have been, what, she was 2-0, so it could be 3-0. We could be seeing another dynasty. Well, From what I heard, and actually just recently looking into everything, I'm like, she got some shooters over there, you know, some real competitors, some real winners. But you know how college is, you know, everybody moves on, graduates, does their own thing, whether they go professional, you know, in their respective sport, or just go professional into whatever else they want to, you know, pursue besides athletics, which is cool either way, you know, as long as they're happy and successful. But yeah, shout outs to South Carolina for getting it done, getting the title, you know, 2-0. That's major props, major accomplishments. I like that. As far as We're not going to go too heavy, guys, because I know everybody wants to talk about the Lakers, and that's all the time, constantly. And I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not relevant. But to just talk about it, just to be talking about it, just because, oh, it's LeBron. And we get it. It's not the season they hoped for, regardless of Russell Westbrook saying that he had no expectations. Of course they did. You know, that's why they assembled the team that they did. It's, you know, but there's also a lot of speculation. One thing I'll probably get more so into, not really on the court, is more off the court, right? So LeBron told you a while ago that him moving, or before he made the decision to leave Cleveland again, right? But at least he gave him a chip, right? So let's move on from that. So he just said whatever decision that he made when he was deciding to leave Cleveland, it would be a business one, right? It would be more because of his family and also whatever business ventures he wanted to, you know, get into, right? Explore, invest in, what have you. So, as you know, he's a Laker, right? Not just because of Magic and the history and Kareem, and we'll get into a little bit more of that later, because Magic does have a, he does have a four-part documentary that's coming out that's going to be interesting, from his days at Michigan when he was a child, going all the way, you know, to the pros and everything. And that, and you know, Magic story is something that we've all been wanting to hear in depth, you know, especially after The Last Dance. You know, that I think that kind of opened up a lot of can of worms from that era for everybody to kind of say, well, I want my story depicted my way and not kind of wait until someone else tells it for me, that type of thing. But anyway, LeBron, Lakers, moved there for a business decision, right? And part of that business decision was, of course, he wanted to win a championship, especially with all the, you know, all the stories that came out and all the, you know, problems that came out of ultimately getting or acquiring Anthony Davis with his agent. You know, it was like a lot. So, but they actually got the job done, right? They did get a championship. So all that, he shut down all those conversations about, oh, he might be the only, you know, great Laker great to not get a championship. Well, now he put that to bed because they went out, they got the ring, right? Cool. Now, when you look at the team that was assembled around him, when you see Westbrook and you see Carmelo, those acquisitions. Now, on paper, remember, these guys are not in their prime, right? So on paper, when you see Carmelo, Westbrook, you know, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, and when I say at their prime, I mean the only person that's probably playing, you know, like they're still in their prime is LeBron James, of course, still averaging over 30, you know, or 25, or pretty much like 25 points a game or whatever, and score, and how many multiple 30-point games, you know, 40, 50-point game. It's ridiculous to be doing that in your 19th year. But that's what he's been doing. So, but like I said, you assemble all those guys, right? Like I said, Westbrook, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, you know, Carmelo Anthony. Most of them, minus LeBron, you could say all of them minus LeBron, not in their prime, right? A lot of them very offensive-minded, right? Some of them even get into the point where we can talk about injuries being a problem, and that's mainly Anthony Davis. But we can say all of them, because if you're not in your prime and you've already gone through your fair share of injuries, these are the kind of things that we're going to have, right? So we're going to say that. And then if you know what they do off the court, like the different projects, especially when it comes to production and understanding, you know, all the social injustice and things like that, that they're heavily involved in, all the untold stories, right, they wanted to bring to light. And there was a lot of stories, you know, not just Black Wall Street and things of that nature. And, you know, LeBron has this show, The Shop. There's a lot of other ventures that they wanted to get done together, from what I found out. So in saying all that, LA is definitely the best spot to get everything done production-wise, especially since LeBron James has all his projects there. So when you look at the roster and you look at the record and you look at all the close games that were lost and you look at all the defensive plays that just didn't happen, not able to outscore their opponents either, which results in their schedule the way it is. I say all that to say this, guys. They weren't trying to win this season. I know that that must be hard to hear, especially if you're a Lakers fan, but I do understand that when it comes to the NBA, or even NFL for that matter, it's a business first, always. And I think some players have gotten to the point in their careers where they literally have nothing else to prove. That's why when Russell Westbrook is at the post-game conference, whether you like to hear that he has no expectations or the way he just treats reporters, like, you may have your feelings toward that, but at the end of the day, he feels he has nothing else to prove, right? Like I said, right or wrong, whatever, this is what he feels. Because he said it, not even just because it's my opinion, he really doesn't feel like he has anything to prove. Same thing with LeBron James. At this point, every team that he's been to, he's given them a championship. He feels like he has nothing else to prove. I mean, he said he was the GOAT before he got to the Lakers, right? Before he even won the chip with the Lakers. So, in his mind, this is just the cherry on top at this point. So, when you understand all that, coupled with his off-the-court projects, it just makes sense that this team was assembled more for business reasons, more so than for championship reasons. Now, do they at some point try to salvage that next season? I mean, you can only hope so, right? You can only hope. But let's not mistake that teams, like owners, they make business decisions all the time. All the time. Just to switch it to NFL real quick, it's the same reason why Kansas City, the Chiefs, are literally justifying why they gave away Tyreek Hill. And they're justifying it because they gave it away because they have so many picks to choose from. Yeah, and you're still not going to get another Tyreek Hill. And it's like, and they know that. But it was a business deal because they'd rather have those picks than to have paid him whatever he was asking. And it didn't matter because the Dolphins were willing to pay it, and that's why he left, right? So you have to understand that it's a business. And then to take it further, we already understand that they could have gotten Buddy Hield, and they could have gotten DeMar DeRozan. And even on multiple shows on ESPN, when you have Magic on right now, he's already explained to you that he has spoken to DeMar DeRozan's agent already, and they said it was a done deal. His agent reached out to Magic and said, hey, DeMar wants to come home, meaning L.A., to the Lakers, and play. Magic then reached out to Rob Pelinka to let him know, hey, he wants to come home. He thought that was going to be a done deal. Same thing with the Buddy Hield thing. They thought that was all a done deal until he got the call back and said, nah, they're going with Russell Westbrook. And he was like, okay. And that's not necessarily a knock on Russell Westbrook. It's just, if you're trying to win a championship, it just does not make sense. Do you see what DeMar DeRozan is doing on the Bulls right now? And DeMar has went off like I've never seen him go off before. And he's had, obviously, great games, great, you know, seasons in Toronto. Even with the Spurs. But with the Bulls this season, I mean, for the first half of the year, we were literally talking about him as an MVP candidate. And he's only not one now because it is just too damn hard to pick, right? With Embiid and the Joker. I mean, it's just too. And then Giannis, you know, just solid and consistent in his jump shot. It looks crazy now. I mean, it's difficult. And then you got Devin Booker in the mix, holding it down while Chris Paul was out. And the Suns number one in the NBA. it's difficult. Like, for me personally, like, I don't remember the last time an MVP race was this difficult. But yeah, but just to go back to the Lakers real quick, I mean, that's pretty much why. Like, if they were trying to win a championship, you would have gotten Buddy Hield, and you would have gotten DeMar DeRozan, and you would have gotten to keep your two on-ball defenders, right? You can't get rid of AC. And then KCP, man. Like, what he did for the Lakers last year was just... I mean, the score, I mean, they both can score. AC can score too, Alex Caruso. Like I said, it just doesn't make sense that you get rid of all that or don't even consider all of that because you went another way. Because on paper, you look solid because of the big names, you know, box office names. But that's all I have to say about that, you know? I mean, it just is what it is. Like, we're not going to sit here and keep going, you know, back and forth. But that's just why they're not making the playoffs. And we can just leave it like that, you know, because it's like you don't want to talk about it, but everybody keeps asking you about it. So it's like you kind of have to talk about it just so you understand what I'm coming from or my point of view on it. But like I said, this MVP race is tough. Like, right now, I have Joker 1A and Devin Booker 1B and Embiid 1C and Giannis 1D. Like, this is why this is difficult. Ridiculous, right? Because it's like I don't even want to decide. I figured, you know what? There's only a few more games left. You know, somebody's going to have a breakout game. Or who knows? Or they just might not even play, right? Because at this point, you just want to load management. You want to make sure your guys can make it through. And you don't want to put too much stress on it. And I totally get it. I would too. And then I'm forced to choose, like, right now, right? Just kind of like where the standings are and where everybody's at. But honestly, if I really had to choose today, I'm just gonna just say it. It's gonna be Nikola Jokic for me, back to back MVPs. His consistency, his consistency. It just doesn't matter who's on the floor with him. He hasn't had Jamal Murray. Like, you have to understand, like, that was such a huge blow because whenever Jamal Murray's out there, he kind of steals the show, right? Jamal Murray is, like, that number one, and Jokic is, like, that number two. But Jokic has established himself so much, especially as a playmaker. His playmaking abilities is unmatched. It's unmatched. Like, he makes everybody else so much better. And people don't... It's like, I don't think we put that much value on assists as we should. Unless, I feel like we just talk about it more so when it comes to Chris Paul and obviously point guards, and rightfully so. But when a big man is able to see the floor the way he does and then be able to shoot from the outside, that makes you so dangerous. Because when you think about it, if you have to watch film and try to prepare for this guy, it's difficult. It's very difficult to keep up with, you know, and that's not to say that it's not difficult with Embiid and, you know, all these other guys. Nikola Jokic, he shows up for every game, big or small, you know. Embiid, I was really disappointed by him not really. I mean, more so James Harden, you know, because he really didn't show up. You know, I'm talking about that Nets game. Like, that was that big game. And I know some people don't really want to put too much stock into a regular season game, but you kind of have to, though, because, I mean, when you think about everything that game in particular offered, it was really supposed to be like the Nets have to hold it together, right? Because they have to protect Ben Simmons because he's not playing, but yet he was at shoot around. It was like all the drama was around that. And it was like, wait, all Philadelphia 76ers had to do was play. Like, they didn't have to worry about that drama, really, because it's not really surrounding them anymore. And Embiid, he's been used to this and has actually been handling it pretty well, no matter what was going on with Kyrie, you know, I mean, or Ben Simmons. He was still, you know, he was still doing his thing, and he was the front runner for a while for MVP. You know, so that's why, I mean, that's just my take. Like, I feel like if you say Embiid, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. His biggest knock was, oh, he's not healthy. He's never available. Well, he's been healthy. He's been available. So nothing to say there, you know. But I would love to know what you guys think, you know. So you guys can definitely hit me up and hit my inbox and let me know who's your MVP and why. You know, I like to show you, you know, I'm always saying show your work, because it's easy just to give me an answer. Okay, cool. Show me why you think that. Like, let me know you watching the games too. You know, and not just looking at the highlights, you know, or just looking at the box score. No, I really want to know your honest opinion. Like, I want to know why you think that, you know, because you're probably not going to be wrong. I mean, we'll probably just agree to disagree, but I just need to know. Or you might change my mind. That's pretty hard to do, though, let you know. But you never know. You never know. Maybe you saw something and I didn't, you know, because I tend to watch a lot of different games at one time, especially if they're all just happen to be on at the same time. My bad. Like, maybe I missed something, you know. But, yeah, as far as the standings go and people are saying, like, who's going to come out of the East? And Miami's gotten it together. I told you not to put too much stock in that fight that they had. Like, I told you that was going to go away, mainly because they're not in the limelight, like, you know, obviously, like the Nets and the Lakers are. So they kind of have that luxury of having pretty much, like, you know, the coach and player kind of go at it back and forth on live, you know, in the middle of the court, like during when they're supposed to be playing. And that kind of just go away in a new cycle. They do have that luxury. So I will acknowledge that, because that's true. Because if that had been Kyrie and Steve Nash, forget it. We probably have been talking about that for the rest of the month. But in the month just started. So I totally get that. But at the same time, I just feel like when you're in the Miami Heat organization, just to understand their culture, like, this is what they're about. They're very fiery, very passionate. They want to win that bad. That they want to hold guys accountable. They're going to tell you things that you're not going to want to hear. They're going to say things out of frustration, you know, and guys need to understand, like, this is bigger than just one person, you know. These are legacies on the line. Like, they can build something really special here. They were so close last time, you know, in the bubble, and it's like, when you're so close to just tasting that championship, you want it so bad. And I know Jimmy Butler wants it. I know Eric Spoelstra's already experienced it, and he wants it, you know, because he doesn't want his legacy to just be attached to, you know, the big three. He wants to show, like, listen, I can draft guys, you know, I can develop them, I can acquire talent, you know, eat big egos, you know, and get them to buy into my culture and still win, you know. So there's still a lot to be proven, a lot to be done over there, and they're showing you they're not done yet. They're not going to let some, you know, argument, some, you know, difference of opinion get in the way of the bigger picture. And that's much appreciated too, you know. So for me, it's hard to try to figure out who's coming out of the East, though, because when you have the Bucks playing as solid as they are, you could tell they're just winning. And with Giannis developing that jump shot, that's dangerous, because what is Giannis always known for? Just dunking, right? It's like, oh, you know, everybody would say, you know, especially I think James Harden actually just said, oh, I wish I was just, you know, like 6 feet, you know, 7 feet, where I could just, you know, just dunk the ball anytime I wanted to, you know, and not really have to have any skill. Well, Giannis is a hard worker, and he's, you know, I believe he did take all that in, like, you know, and decided to develop his game beyond dunking, you know. But obviously every now and again he's got to show you, he's got to dunk on it and let you know, like, listen, I'm still here too. But I can take it out if I need to. So you can go ahead and, you know, and not deem me from the mid, you know, from the mid all the way down to the three. You know, I'm gonna make you pay. You know, so that's why that's hard. And then the 76ers, I'm not sold. I'm sorry. I'm not. And it honestly has nothing to do with Embiid. It has everything to do with James Harden. It has everything to do with their system, not really understanding what their identity is and what they're trying to do. And please don't come at me with the process. Like, nobody's trying to hear that. I'm talking about from the standpoint of what are they doing? Okay, you got Maxey, who's an emerging star. Cool. Tobias Harris, what exactly is his role? I feel like some nights, you know, he's looking like that third option, and other nights he's looking like the fourth option because of Maxey. I feel like Doc probably needs to do a better job in establishing everybody's role in terms of out of that, because you already know you're doing the pick and roll with Embiid, right? So where does Tobias Harris fit into that? And then when you have Maxey come into play. Because those rotations and eventually those matchups, when you look at the teams that they're going to be facing in the East, it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be pretty if they don't get that right, because there's going to be so much talk about the 76ers if they can't get out of the first and second round. I'm telling you, especially with all that noise that James Harden made, you know, about getting out of, you know, when he got from the Rockets, right? And then people probably understand why he got away from the Nets. And depending on if you're a Nets fan, you're probably a little, you know, but I don't know. It was a little iffy, but this is legacy time. You have nowhere to go. This is where you wanted to be. Here you are. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to step up? Because no matter what team he played on, he never showed up for those big moments. We always got out of him for not showing up in those big moments. And he's going to have plenty of those big moments. And Embiid is going to need him to show up. The Nets can't just go out trying to outscore your opponent without playing defense. It's not going to work. It's going to kill you every time. And shout-outs to KD for actually recognizing that and not blaming the refs, because that's the easy way. That's the cop-out, right? Oh, it was the refs, because then everybody else could relate to that and kind of say, yeah, it was the refs. Like, no, you need to be more disciplined on defense and stop, you know, move your feet, not your hands, right? That's like what coaches say to little kids. Move your feet, not your hands. Refs are looking for that nowadays. Pay attention. You know, because outside of, you know, KD and Kyrie, refs are not giving you the benefit of the doubt. They're going to call it on you every time. You know, and that's free shots for the other side. Like, I don't know. I like Miami. I like Miami. I would love to see Miami and the Bucks. But I think I will. Okay, so sorry guys, I'm just watching ESPN right now. So the Nets are reporting that Ben Simmons is not going to play the remainder of the regular season, and he's not going to be playing in the play-in tournament. But there's a possibility he can be playing in the playoffs, okay? And that's, you know, obviously if they get to that point, which I think they should. They should get past the play-in tournament. But crazier things have happened. But that literally just dropped, so that's why I'm just reporting it to you as I'm finding it out. So that's pretty interesting. 'Cause what they're needing is defense. You have so many people scoring the ball between KD and Kyrie. You know, Ben Simmons is going to be huge when it comes to his passing ability, when it comes to especially his defense. And it's funny because I was just talking about the Nets when it came to their defense, right? So that worked out nicely. But like I said, I like Miami. I think Miami is coming out of the East. It's going to be a bumpy road. I think they're going to learn a lot throughout the different matchups that they're going to see. We can't sleep on the East, because the East is going to be putting up a fight. A sleeper team that I would say that you should watch for in the East is the Hawks. I know there's still a lot of question marks surrounding the Hawks, and different roles for different guys, but I feel like Trae Young has, you know, he's that dude. And he's going to put on another show, I'm sure. I'm just glad it won't be at the Garden, you know. Some people are saying watch out for the Celtics, but I don't see the Celtics as a sleeper team, though, because right now people already understand that they're pretty solid. They're established. We said Jaylen Brown and Tatum has figured it out. I think there's some, like, issues probably surrounding about their vax status, because if they face Toronto, you can't enter the country. So I think some people are a little weary about that. And I don't know the players' vax status at this point. Kind of talking about that, tired of talking about that, to be really honest with you. But it's just I'm literally just mentioning it off the standpoint of will they be able to play, you know, certain games, and, you know, and that will obviously impact who you choose, you know, to come out of the East and things of that nature. But I think the Celtics will make it interesting, though, and I hope they do, because I'm excited. I can't wait. This is when we're finally going to have, like, I mean, at least I'm hoping for, because, you know, the whole super team thing, I know everybody's a little, you know, well, when it's your team, you don't care, right? Like, you just want them to win and whatever. But I'm so sick of the super teams, honestly. Like, I want a team, okay, you have two stars and you have a bunch of solid role players. You know, like, I like that. And I feel like that's what the 76ers were trying to do. But you need guys who are going to show up in big games, though. So we'll see how that plays out. Miami, I feel like they're built because they're just a bunch of dogs, man. These guys go after it, you know. And they want it that much. And the fact that they're holding each other accountable, you know, they just need to be a little bit more disciplined on what the public sees, you know, and interprets. You know, whatever you do behind closed doors, as long as you guys, you know, able to resolve whatever you need to resolve, and then, you know, keep it moving. It just, you know, that's really what we need to analyze when it comes to that. Just make sure that they're able to hold it together, you know, as a team collectively. And I think they will. I think they will ultimately. They understand what's at stake. They understand the bigger picture. And as for the West, man, this is difficult because, like I said, the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic and Dinwiddie, people slept on Dinwiddie, especially. I still remember him when he was with the Nets and how he helped take them to the playoffs, you know, and Caris LeVert was out for the season. Like, I remember all that, and I'm like, this dude is nice. He kind of reminded me of DeMar DeRozan a little bit and got a little bit of a Kyrie swag with the handles, too. I like him a lot, and I'm like, man. Injured, you know, bounced through. I'm like, watch. And when you look at this dude, I'm like, he plays well. He understands team basketball. I don't know. And on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I think when you just look at it as a whole, he also wants something to prove. You know, when the Nets virtually kind of just got rid of everybody to kind of say, all right, we got KD, we got Kyrie, we good, that type of thing. And I might be, you know, okay for the Nets or whatever, but guys like that who got let go, like, you can tell, they play with a little chip on their shoulders. That's gotta mean something. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm just looking at it as, from a competitive standpoint, you're always looking for that edge. You're always looking for something that gets you going, something to motivate you, you know, because sometimes you're not going to be motivated, right, for whatever reason. But little things like that, you know, that people kind of just say, oh, it's just business. But to you, you know, you take that a little bit more personally, and you might want to use that, obviously, more constructive, right? You want to use it to your advantage. And certainly this would be the way to do it in these playoffs. I mean, I want to see them do it for sure. Who wouldn't? But the way these playoffs are shaping out, Even the Cavs, man. Jared Allen, you have Garland over there. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm pretty sure nobody's picking them to come out of the East, but the point is they can make it difficult. They can make it interesting, though. So it's just as simple as that, understanding that the road to, you know, the finals, whether it's the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, it's not going to be easy. And just to go a little bit on the West side of things, you know, with everything that the Grizzlies have been able to do and the focus for the most of the season, and obviously Ja Morant before he got injured was definitely in that MVP race. And I was definitely, you know, talking about him and Bede and along with everybody else and, you know, giving that same energy because what he was doing was he was on a tear. Like, I think every highlight included Ja Morant or they had something to say. But the thing is, the beauty about the Memphis Grizzlies is what they've been able to do without him. What, they only lost like 2 games or something like that? Like, it's, this is, they've become not only a solid team, they've, to me, that they're, I mean, I want to call them the Mavs the sleeper, and I already told you why, but the Grizzlies, I don't think people are really paying them that much attention, especially since we're not really talking about, you know, who we thought was going to be at the top, you know, in the beginning of the season. Like, things are, the pecking order sure has changed. You know, we're definitely looking at other teams in different lights, and we're just sitting here breaking everything down, and we're like, oh, the Utah Jazz, you know, I told you, Donovan Mitchell, that's my guy, but at the same time, Rudy and Gobert, yeah, Rudy Gobert, like, they haven't, it's like more the same every year. You know, we're looking for them to kind of push through that threshold to get to the next level, get to the next step. And we're just not seeing it. It just seems like more the same. And I think that's just what we have to look forward to. So I don't really see anything there, unfortunately, for that team. But all that to say, we can't sleep on them. We have to realize that they're a solid team even without Ja Morant. And then when Ja Morant comes back into the lineup, inevitably, they're going to be dangerous because they're a solid team. Everybody still knows their role. All they're really going to have, I would say, is just a lack of experience at this point. But right now, that's kind of going for them. They don't know enough. They don't know better enough to be scared or intimidated by anybody right now. So they're kind of just doing what they got to do and just competing against the top teams in the league. And right now, from an Eastern standpoint, you know, looking at the Suns. Suns are dangerous too. Suns are hungry. The Suns literally picked up where they left off. I told you, they've been on a tear since the bubble. These guys are on a mission. They're trying to get that ring. And if it would, right now, yeah, I have the Suns going to the Western Conference Finals. Until you know, anybody says otherwise, like, that's what I have right now. Miami and the Suns, I could see it. Rematch. Let's do it. I mean, right now, there's other teams that are, you know, like I said, we already talked about the East and we talked about Giannis and how he's improved his game. But right now, I feel like, I mean, this is Miami's time. This is go time. And same thing with the Suns. It's go time. You know, but one thing I also don't want people to get twisted is the Golden State Warriors are still very much in this conversation. I understand they're dealing with injuries back and forth. They're still trying to get some chemistry, you know, with their lineup. But Jordan Poole, man, he is a star. Dude is a star. They're going to figure it out. Steph's going to come back at some point, at least so we hope. I know Wiseman, I think they already said that he's done. They're shutting him down for the rest of the season. At this point, we just have to sit back and just and see how that shapes out. Like, injuries are just unfortunate part of the game. And sometimes you kind of just gotta live with that and just say, all right, next man up. And, you know, hopefully we can get over that hump. But the Warriors still have all the potential in the world. Right now, it's just a matter of getting healthy, staying healthy throughout the playoffs. So they have to juggle with When is Steph going to be able to come back? If he is healthy, how soon should we try to get him back, knowing everything that he has to deal with? And that's going to be a very careful balance. Excuse me. Because right now you have Dallas very much in the conversation. You have Denver very much in the conversation. And I already told you how I felt about the Jazz. I mean, that's just unfortunate. But Memphis, but going through all this and just thinking and dissecting everything, right now, I'm going to say in the East, let's say Eastern Conference Finals, Miami Bucks, and in the West, let's say Memphis, and let's say the Suns. I know that's crazy, but those are my picks. In the Finals, the Suns and Miami. Ultimately, Suns are going to take it. Chris Paul gets his first ring. You heard it here first. Anyway, that's my time. Always remember, losses equals life lessons. Stay up, y'all. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.